Joel chapter 2. And we're just going to highlight some verses in this chapter because there is so much in this particular chapter. Some well-known verses are contained in chapter 2 of Joel. But verse 1 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. And it's that sense of the priests really needed to get the attention of the people, to hear what God was saying and to see what God was doing. And so verses then from 2 to 11 just continue on this ravishing that the locusts are going to cause upon the land. And then in verse 12 there's this call that says, return to me with all of your heart. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. And kind of just to kind of say on that point, you know, we emphasize the mercy and the grace and forgiving glory of God, and rightly so. But sometimes I'm kind of reminded when I see kind of little children who have done something wrong, they kind of just say sorry because they might get shouted at, or they might have their phone taken from them, or there's some punishment that will take place. It's kind of not a genuine sorry. It's almost shallow in some ways. And so the call that comes in verse 12 is, return to the Lord with all of your heart. Is that sense that when we stray, if we wander away from God, there isn't that sense of being half-hearted in our seeking God's forgiveness, but we actually return to God with all of our hearts, giving everything, recommitting everything to Him. And then as we quickly move down to this chapter, there's this reminder of God's blessing. In verse 20, surely the Lord has done great things. We used to sing that old hymn many years ago, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I was just thinking earlier this morning, that kind of thought that the higher up a mountain you go, the greater the view. Obviously depending on a sunny day, but the higher up the mountain you go, the more splendid the view that you have and the greater the experience that you have. But the higher you go, the harder it gets, particularly if it's a steep mountain. But nevertheless, that effort is rewarded and the strain is quickly forgotten when you can see the glory of God's creation all around you. Count your blessings, and the higher up the mountain we climb with God, the greater the blessings that we can see, and we can repeat, surely God has done great things. And too often we don't pause enough just to consider all that God has done in our lives, and just to refocus on who God is. And again, this well-known verse then in verse 25, I will repay for the years the locusts have eaten. One commentator says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, is a reference to the produce of food from the years the locusts destroyed in the harvest. But a closer look at the context and details of this verse offers additional insight into the goodness of God. And certainly in the natural for Israel, what was promised was a bountiful harvest, so much so that the devastation will have been forgotten. And we are told in the New Testament that our trials and the tough times that we go through in this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that we will have in the future. But even here on earth, the battles and the trials the times of barrenness that we feel that we go to, God can bring us into a season of refreshing and a season of blessing that the tough times just seem to vanish away because of the glory and the goodness of God. As I said, those years spent in the wilderness can be soon forgotten when we come into God's harvest, when we live in the fullness of God's blessing, when we climb that mount and the view and the splendor is so wonderful. And then this verse in 28, which partly as a Pentecostal church, we kind of bring our part of our foundations to, and it's the promise of the Holy Spirit in verse 28. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And in Acts chapter 2, we see the fulfillment of what is prophesied, what is spoken about in Joel chapter 2. And again, it just blesses me that, as I said, Joel's only three chapters, just three short chapters, and yet chapter 2 contains so much, so many wonderful promises of God. And we are living in some of those promises today. We are living in the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then this final promise that's there in verse 32, the promise of salvation. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so this closing part of chapter 2 speaks about the promise of the Holy Spirit, and it speaks about the promise of salvation, that when we call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. And it's our prayer that there'll be an enriching, a harvest of the promise of the Holy Spirit, and a harvest of salvation in our community. And there'll be people that will call on the name of the Lord, even in these troubled times, that people will call on the name of the Lord and they will be saved.